We are holding at the bottom of Nun Gimel Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. Mishnah had mentioned that the Mishnah had mentioned that Tabal Yavimta, somebody has relations with his Yavama, doesn't matter the circumstances. We said whether Shogig, Mezi, if one of them is Shogig, or in the Braise, we said even if both of them are Shogig, etc., then nevertheless it's still nevertheless the Kinyan is still a Kinyan, and the Yavum is Chal for all purposes. So the Gemara asks, Onus de Masnis in Heichidami, what exactly do we mean when the Mishnah uses the word honor? The Mishnah had said that who honors, Vihilai Anusa. What does it mean that he's honors? Ilem Kshansu Obidikhabim Uvalah, are you talking about that Goyim forced him and he had relations with her? Well, then that's not a Chiddush. Then the Mishnah doesn't need to tell us.
Then
we don't need to say that. Let's be Shane Kishri El Hadas, because in order for it to be a bia la halacha, it has to be with kishui. It has to be with an erect aver. And the rule is ein kishui elo das. That can only happen with the person's das. It can only happen voluntarily. In chassidus, by the way, in many places in chassidus, it talks about the deeper idea of this that you said, which is the organ that we're talking about. It has a direct connection to mosin, to das, so it's kava and tzoy, as opposed to you have ches and vura, and then you have tefenos in the middle, and that's a chod, and then you have yisoid in the middle. So it has a direct connection, and therefore it explains in chassidus. Therefore, we see with that much more than with other organs of the body that you have a thought, and immediately you have a thought in your brain. And immediately it has an effect over there. But the point is...
And with a regular limb, like the hand?
Not so much. You have to think. It's not so much you have a taiva to something, and automatically your hands and automatically... That's the point. You have a taiva, and right away and right away it happens, as opposed to it doesn't happen as much with your hand and your foot. It's more you have to think consciously, I want to stick out my hand or I want to stick out my foot for this thing.
Right.
Anyway, so Rava says, as a general rule, ein ones la'eva, there can never be an ones as far as arayis, l'pishein kishui el odas, because there can only be a kishui requires his das. So by the same token, in our Mishnah, of course if it's an ones, of course it's kona. There'd be no reason for the Mishnah to mention that.
There's no stira between ones and das?
That's what we're saying. So there are two different explanations that Rishonim explain. What when we say Amsu Obdi Kachavim, what exactly are we talking about over here? Are we talking, one possibility is that Tosfos discusses over here in Shansu and Onus La'eva, that one possibility is that they were ma'anus him until he developed a kishri, and then having that, they used him for that purpose. Or are we talking to some Rishonim say that's what we're talking about when we say Ein Kishri El Adas? If he should have been able to withstand that onus, that pressure that they're putting on him, that would develop the kishri, and then nothing would happen. Other Rishonim say no, that really is called an onus. What we mean over here, Shansu over Kachavim, would rather mean that instead of beginning by having him develop a kishri, They start out things by pressing him against the erva, and then on his own he develops the kishui. There's two different ways of looking at it. What exactly the onus is of here? Basically, whether we're talking physical, whether we're talking a physiological, or yeah. One interesting idea the Ur Sameach brings on this. We're familiar, I think, with the famous Rambam in Hilchos Gerushin that says that why it is in certain cases that Beis Din can force a person to give a get, as you know, how is it willingly if they have to force him into it. And we know the famous explanation that Rebbe used to quote it all the time, that the person has that the Rambam says that essentially a person wants to do the Rotzon of the Eivishter, but his Yetzahara is forcing him not to. So when Beis Din removes that, when Beis Din is putting their pressure on him, that removes that Yetzahara and allows his essential desire to come out. So the Ur Sameach explains somewhat similarly in our Gemara, you have sort of the reverse. You have that you can have a case where normally he would, you know, normally he would have a certain taiva, and he'd have a certain, you know, he'd have a kishri from it. Normally he's able to control himself, but in this case the onus of the goyim makes it that it takes away the external, it takes away sort of the external conscience that prevents him from acting on what he would normally do, and allows him to go ahead with it. But therefore it can't really be considered an onus, there is an underlying Russian over there, which just, you know, up until now, he was managing to hold back.
But it could be a Russian that's caused by the, maybe they threatened his life.
So Tosfos begins by questioning, by saying, are we talking about that they threatened his life? Because then what's it got to do with Ein Kishu Elo? Of course, they're threatening his life. Yeah, the fact that he develops a Kishu, of course, there's no question about that, right?
A voluntary one.
No, it is one voluntary because he could have withstood them. He said, fine, go ahead and kill me, but I'm not going to be Niskasha and I'm not going to. Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. That's why Tosfos discusses the pros and cons over here. Are we talking about that they actually forced him, they actually did something to force him to have a Kishui, which one way of arguing is doesn't matter, he still should have been able to withstand that. Or is it that we're saying, no, you can't maybe expect him to withstand that physiological thing, but we're talking about over here that they started out with forcing him against the Erva, and then, but they didn't force a Kishui. The Kishui then came from naturally, but again, he could be able to withstand that. It may be very difficult, but we're saying that it takes Das to have Kishui, and therefore he should be focusing on something else in order to avoid it. Anyway.
Either way.
I love the Gemara says B'yoshin. So okay, are we talking about that when we say that when we're talking about Ba'onus in the Mishnah, are we talking about he was sleeping? Can't be Yivama of Yehuda Yoshin like Kana B'Yivimto. That in fact, if a person is sleeping and he has beer with his Yivama, he's not Kana. Now why is that? Rashi says it's because he's not a Bar Das at that point, so he can't do a Kinyan. Tosfos says, so what? He's not a Bar Das. A cotton can do Yibum even though he's not a Bar Das. Tosfos says a different reason, because he had no intention for Bia at all. We're going to talk about some cases soon in the Gemara where a person ends up doing Bia without having any intention for it at all. Here, he was sleeping. He had no intention for Bia.
But we said that to do a Yibum, you do not need...
That's the thing. So that's what Rashi is saying, you need to be a Bar Das in order to be able to do a Kinyan. Tosfos is arguing, maybe you don't need to be a Bar Das, but at least you have to have in mind that you're doing something for a Kinyan. And here he doesn't have anything in mind because he's asleep. Anyway, Ela Benitka. Okay, you're going to talk about the case where, let's say, for example, he was up on the roof with a Kishri, and then he fell off the roof and lands on top of the Yavama. Can't be. Well, Amar Rabba, we find that Rabba says, if somebody was in that circumstance, he was on the roof, Rashi adds that he was up with his wife on the roof, he had a Kishui intending to be with his wife, he falls off and instead lands on his Yavama, who's down at the bottom underneath underneath on the ground. And you know, the Marshal points out in Yamshal Shalem, I mean this is really one of those Zerush for Kabbal Tzchar things. I mean in the whole history of humankind it's probably never happened. But it's one of those things, it's a din. There is that, yeah. There is definitely that, yeah.
It cannot happen.
Anyway, realistically, it's not going to happen. But theoretically, if it were to happen, Amar Rabba, Nafal Min Agag V'Nitka, if somebody falls off the roof and gets jammed into his Erva, Chayav Ba'Badra, into a woman there, Chayav Ba'Badvarim, then if it's he would be Chayav in four out of the five kinds of penalties that we make a person pay for damages. He'd be Chayav, as the Gemara is going to say soon, Nezek for the actual damages, Tsar for the pain, Ripui for any medical bills that she has, Sheves, any time that she has to take off work. Boishas, which is the last one, is embarrassment. He doesn't have to pay for reasons which the Gemara will talk about soon.
So repeat that again.
Usually when a person wounds or injures somebody else, he usually chayav five different kinds of payments. Nezek, which is the fact that he made the person effectively now is worthless.
Injury.
He injured him, therefore the person is like worthless on the slave market or whatever, or however you would figure that kind of thing. Tsar, the pain. Ripui, the medical bill. Sheves, the fact that he has to take off work, that he loses time off work because he has to while he's recovering, and Boshes, the embarrassment. So over here, the embarrassment doesn't apply for reasons that the Gemara will talk about soon because he wasn't mazed on it. But the other four doesn't matter whether you're shogeg or mazed. Uviyavimto lekana, and if it was the Yavama down there, not just the Zava woman, he wouldn't be kind to her by that because he had no intention for Bia. So it can't be. So it can't be that that's what onus means because in fact he won't be kind to her. Ella, so no, you have to say the case is the case, what do we mean by onus in the Mishnah, would mean he was intending to be with his wife. He had a kishui, and he's intending to be with his wife. Then his Yavama grabbed a hold of him and had her way. So he was onus in the sense that he didn't mean at all to have relations with her, but he did have intention to have relations with his wife. Therefore, it works even though he had no intention to be with his Yavama. That's what we mean by onus.
Yavama, sacked him in a way, what, she
raped him? Basically, yes, that's what it amounts to, yeah.
So it's Chal? Or
it's Chal, we're saying. It's Chal, because even though it was Onus, nevertheless, he did have intentions for Bia. Unlike the previous case where he fell off the roof, he had no intention for Bia at all. Here, he had an intention for Bia with his wife. The fact that his Yavama... Before the Yavama walked in, and right.
But who says that before counts?
Because we're saying he had intention. We're going to talk about examples soon. As long as he had intention for some kind of Bia, we'll talk about soon, even if he had intentions for an animal or whatever, we'll get to that soon, but whatever, yeah. As long as he had intention for some kind of Bia. So to summarize what we have so far,
if she raped him, he was Anus.
But that's what we're saying, Anus is Kaina. Who Anus vihi loy Anusa, then nevertheless he's Kaina. Which then the question becomes, what about, we quoted yesterday at the end of the Gemara that Rav Chiya had a braisa that said even if both of them are onus, then still the Yibum takes effect. What do we mean by that? If you're going to say that onus means, again, that she knew what she was doing, but he didn't, that's not shneim anusim. Where do you find such a case? The answer is similar. He was intending to be with his wife. He had a kishri for that. But then Goyim grabbed a hold of him. They pressed him against the Yavama. And he ended up having relations with her. So both of them are onerous. Neither of them voluntarily went into this. But nevertheless, so again, since he had intentions for a bia, then that works.
That is fair.
Yeah. Now, with all of that, so going back to, the Mishnah had mentioned that in all these cases, Shogig, Mezid, Onus, etc., you're always Koine. Manan Emili. How do we know all this? The Tanan Abanan, because we learned it at Abraisa. And this that we're saying, that Abar Yavimjay, Ben Beshogig, Ben Mezid, Ben Onus, Ben Bedot, and all these various permutations, that nevertheless is Koine. How do we know this? And why don't we say only if it was Bedot? Only if, yeah. The answer is the Tanan Rabbanan, we learn it in Braisa. The pasuk says Yavama Yavam Yavamaha, that the Yavam should have relations with her. This means mitzvah. It means it's a mitzvah to do that. Which Rashi says, in other words, this Braisa holds that it's more mitzvah to do Yibum. It's the preferable way to do Yibum rather than Chalitza. Which again, we had before the Machlokas of Abashol and the Chachamim. Which one is preferable? The Tana of our Braisa holds that Yibum is better. Not in his face, you can sit on the ground in front of him. So, Abba Shoal says, given that, we learned before, that given that, really, this woman should have been offered to him as Ashes Achiv, and only the Torah is master it for the sake of Yibum, you have to be sure that you're doing it L'shem the mitzvah, not L'shem anything else. Otherwise, Kila Pegeh Be'ever.
If he's not doing it,
fully L'shem Shemayim.
If he likes, he's attracted to that.
That would be one reason. We mentioned L'shem Ishus, L'shem Noah. Yeah, we mentioned different
and
things.
That would be Erha,
now Abishol is not. So that's the thing. We talked about a couple of times already, including we talked about yesterday, that Rishonim argue, does Abishol mean that even Minat Torah, it has to be that way, that it must be L'shem Mitzvah, and otherwise Kila Pegeh Be'Erha, or does he just mean Midrabanan?
And what's the answer?
Different opinions. I mean, there's the machlokas aposkim whether the halacha is like the chachamim or like Abishol anyway, which is why we talked before that which is why the mechaber paskins that yibum is preferable to chalitza, and the ramah paskins that chalitza is preferable to yibum, and therefore adayim azeh sfardim and ashkenazim do it differently.
Because they say it's never completely the shem shemayim.
The ashkenazim argue that yeah. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara. Dava Acha, another explanation, Yavama Yavai Aleha, that the Yavam should have relations with her, means Ben B'Shegeg, Ben B'Mezeg, Ben B'Onus, Ben B'Rotzen. We learn it from that. Yavai Aleha, no matter how he did the Bia, it's still a Bia.
That's the key point, yeah.
Question is, Baha Pikti, the Mitzvah. You just said a line ago that the word Yavama Yavai Aleha means to teach you that it's more of a Mitzvah to do Yibum than Chalitza. How can you use the word Yavai Aleha for another purpose as well? You can only learn one thing from words in a pasuk.
It says Yavai
Aleha
Mitzvah.
No, Yavai, the first thing we said is it means Mitzvah. And number two, it means any kind of Bia. Once we use it to teach us that Yibum is a Mitzvah preferable to Chalitza, how can we use those same words, Yavai Aleha, to teach us another Din? The answer is, how can we use it to learn another Din, such as that any kind of Bia, Ben Ba'onis, Ben B'Shogeg, etc., is Kona? The answer is we don't learn it from that. That we learn the mitzvah maybe im lo yachpateish davka. No, the fact that there's a mitzvah that yibum is preferable to chalitza, that we learn from the fact that the Torah continues. If the man does not want to do yibum, then you go ahead and do chalitza, implying that yibum is preferable. So it's not. Yivama yavo yaleha teaches us that any kind of bia, which implies hachafet yavim. But if he does want to, then it would be more preferable to do yibum. Therefore, when the words Yavama Yavayalah come in the pasuk, it's teaching us Ben B'Shogi, Ben B'Mezid, Ben B'Rasant. Finished. Tanya Yiduch, then we learn in another B'Raisa, that we have yet another thing that we want to learn from the word Yavayalah. When the pasuk says Yavama Yavayalah, that Yavam should have relations with her, it means Kedarka, means normal relations. V'Olkacha, and when the pasuk continues, he will take her as a wife, that means to add something else, it means to add Shaloi Kedarka, also if they had relations Shaloi Kedarka. And when the pasuk continues v'yibim,
it's a ribu.
Yes, it's a ribu. It's a v'lokacha, exactly. Then when it continues v'yibim, the word actually in the Torah is v'yibma, but the Gemara is darshaning separately from the shodesh v'yibim and the suffix the makik hay, because the Torah could have just said v'lokacha lo isha v'yibim. The fact that it didn't have to say v'yibim at all, v'lokacha lo isha is enough. Once it says v'yibim is an extra word and v'yibma is yet an extra suffix. So we're gonna have two things. We're gonna learn from those as well. We learn Yibim teaches us Bia Gemeres, but only Bia completes the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Yibim. Vein Ketzif or Shtar Gemim. Just giving her money or a Shtar, which we talked in the previous parak about Maimer, that does not complete the mitzvah of Yibim. I mean, I told her they have no effect at all, really. And the Yibma, the hay of the Yibma, teaches us Baal Korcha. It teaches us that he can even be Miyabim or Baal Korcha, and it still works. Because we have the extra letter hey over there, which we didn't need. We learn from it. Ultimately, you know, b'chlal, I mean, I don't want to get too far off topic because it could be a very long discussion, but b'chlal, whenever we have in the Gemara, whenever we have that we're saying we learn from words in a pasuk such and such a din, does it mean that the Chachamim actually had a Kabbalah of the din as a din, and then they found a pasuk to be so mechidan, or is it that actually they analyzed the pasuk and realized that these words have to teach us this particular halacha? So, you know, does the halacha stand independently of the pasuk, or you could argue either way? I mean, you can find many different arguments on both sides of it. Anyway.
Is it a support, or is it really a question that...
Is the pasuk the source of the halacha, or is the pasuk a support for an existing halacha? Right. Going back to the first braisa, Agar Tabach adds, Omamar, Dover Acha Yavama Yavayalah Ben Meshogi Chulo, that we said that the word Yavayalah means to teach us that any kind of beer, whether the intentions, Meshogi, Gumezi, etc., all works. The question is, Vaha Pikdila Kedarka. The next braisa said that the word Yavayalah teaches us that beer Kedarka is effective, and then Ulakacha teaches us also beer Shalai Kedarka. So you're using the word Yavayalah for that. How do you have the word Yavayalah available to teach us that whether it's Meshogi or Ba'onis or what have you, that it's Kona? How can it be both? Yeah.
Right.
The answer is Ahum Lahakib Shem Laakib Shem Nafka. No, the fact that Bia Kedarka works to be kind to her, that we don't learn from the word even though the last Braisa had said that we learn it from Yavayalah, we don't actually. Rather we learn it from the word that what's the purpose of Yibum Lahakim Laakib Shem to raise up to reestablish his brother's name, which means Ramakim to make him shame. What kind of Bia is kind for Yibum? The kind that's the kind that would be make him shame, the kind that could possibly impregnate her, which is Kedarka. So we do say in the end that Bia Shalai Kedarka also, that we learn from Olakacha. So in other words, not like the last Braita was saying that we have Yavama Yavay Aleha Olakacha, that we learn respectively Kedarka and Shalai Kedarka. No, Kedarka we learn from Lahakim Lahakim Shame. And Shaloi Kedarka, we still learn from Olakacha. It's not make him shame, but since we have the extra word Olakacha, it means to include yet another kind of bia, which is kinda. Then we say that it means Shaloi Kedarka. You're right. It doesn't accomplish the purpose of Lahakim Lahakim Shame. But we said that after all, I mean, you know, in a way that is the purpose of Yibum, but in a way it's not. I mean, if it ends up that they don't have children, they've still fulfilled the mitzvah of Yibum.
Can you say Lekicha is boxed up?
That's what we're saying, yeah.
That's what we're doing here.
Well, because, the Mishnah had pointed out, that it's not just with Yibum. Throughout, B'chola Torah Kula, in general, Bia Shaloi Kedavka is the equivalent, as far as its effect, as Bia Kedavka. It's a person would be chayev. Person would be chayev for Arayas just as much for one as for the other.
I'm asking for Yibum.
That's what we're saying. Given that we have the word Lakocha, it comes to add.
But it really doesn't.
It doesn't accomplish lachim lachav shem. Okay, but it doesn't accomplish lachim lachav. Okay, but it doesn't. But it's still a bia. We talked about that earlier. We talked about that on Daf Lamed Daled. We said that actually the Gemara had mentioned over there that Aaron Oinon had done that way with Tamar, and we find the pasuk says that the Eibishter was upset with both of them and they died young. On the other hand, there's a Gemara in Nedarim, which some Rishonim understand to mean that it is allowed. So there gets to be a big argument in it. The Rambam, for example, writes that that's not an issue. A person could do kedavka, shaloi kedavka, whatever he wants, based on that Gemara and Nedarim. Other Rishonim argue and say, based on the Gemara earlier in Yevamos, that you're not allowed to. Whatever it is, and one interesting idea that some of the posts can say is it's allowed bakrai, like it's allowed as a rare thing, and some of them actually go so far as to say it means it might be allowed one time in a person's lifetime, and that's it. But here we're not getting into that. Here, yeah. Anyway, so it
seems to imply that you can do mitzvah yibum with doing an avera.
But that's what we said yesterday, when you're doing b'mezid also, where both of them are thinking it's l'shem z'nus, or one of them is thinking it's l'shem z'nus, you're thinking to do an avera, but nevertheless you're doing a mitzvah, right? Okay. Yeah.
So the question remains, so how come the Ashkenazim say that you cannot be
mevayeh? Because that gets into the question, does our Mishnah disagree with Abishol? And in that case, fine, our Mishnah disagrees with Abishol.
Right.
Or do we say that no, Abishol would say that midaraisa, any kind of yibum is valid, whether it's b'shoyu, b'mezid, kedavka, shalai, kedavka, etc. Midrabanan, it's supposed to be done l'shem the mitzvah. V'chi asa kura b'mezid, 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 b'mezid. So the words yavay aleh come to teach us that no matter what the intention. So all told, in other words, what we have is basically like this. From Yavama yavay aleh, we learn that as long as he had intentions, l'shem bia, then it doesn't matter if it was b'shogeg or b'mezid or what have you. From ulakacha, from ulakacha we learn that you also shalei kedarka. From l'hakim l'achav shem we learn kedarka. So now we know that both kedarka and shalei kedarka are effective. And from b'yibim we learn that it has to dafka be bia, not kesef or shtar. So we've used all the words in the pasuk for each, and from the hay of Yibma we learn that it can also be ba'akocha. So we have all the five different dinim that we need to know. We learn them each from their each individual pasuk, and we don't end up using one pasuk for two different lamodim, which we can't do. Gufa, getting back to what we said before about when he's sleeping, Amar of Yehuda, Yashan Lekana Bihim. Gufa means getting back to something that we said before, yeah. We mentioned it before, Derech Agav, now we're going to go analyze it some more. Amar of Yehuda, Yashan Lekana Bihim. So a sleeping person is not Koneh Yivama, meaning he has relations with her in his sleep. Da'amakra, because the pasuk says, Yivama Yavai Aleh, it says that he has to do Bia with her, Adam Achav and Lashem Bia, which means he has to have intention for Bia. It doesn't have to be with beer with her necessarily, as we said before, but at least it has to be that he has intentions for some kind of beer, and when he's asleep, he doesn't have any intentions. Question is, Valtanya ben Er ben Yashin, but Abraisa says, whether he's awake or asleep. No, not a problem. Ema ben Ero ben Yashena. No, change the words of the Abraisa. It doesn't mean whether he's awake or asleep, whether she's awake or asleep. With her, it doesn't even matter if it's Bal Korcha, so yes, she could be asleep, and the Yibum still takes effect. But we have yet another brayta. Ben er hu ben yashin hu ben er he ben yishena he. This next brayta spells it out. Whether he's asleep or she's asleep, or whether he's asleep or awake, whether she's asleep or awake. Well, right. Well, obviously they can't both be sleeping, otherwise nothing's going to happen. But yeah, we see therefore that even if he's asleep, it's still kinda. The answer is hach mayaskin b'misnamnim. You know what we're talking about over here? We're not talking about he's really asleep in this last place. So you're right. If he was really asleep, then we would use Rav Yehuda's din that nothing happened. We're talking about that he's dozing. He's half asleep.
stuff.
So he's dozing. He's half asleep.
Okay.
She can be either awake or asleep. Hey, chidamim is namnim. What does it mean, napping? We had this before. We had this at the very end of Psachim. We had this in half a dozen places. Amar Rav Ashi, nim v'la nim tir v'la tir. It means he's asleep but not fully asleep. Awake but not fully awake. For example, they call his name and he can answer. V'la yadol adri svara, but he doesn't know how to answer anything that takes any kind of thought. V'chimad kurulei mikra, but if they remind him of something, he will remember it. That's what we mean by misnamnim. One example I think we learned when we learned this in Psachim, one example that the Mefarshim give is, for example, you ask him where something is. He might not be able to where do you put such and such? He might not be able to answer, but if you tell him, if you ask him, did you leave your phone there and there? Oh, yeah, I did. You know, he'll remember that much. You mean
today?
Yeah. Then that's enough to have Kavanah for beer, yeah. That's what we're saying. Cool.
So let me ask you a question specifically on this. If he takes medication and he wants to do deep, is it going to work or it's not going to work if that medication makes him drowsy?
Drowsy, we're saying drowsy is fine.
Drowsy is fine.
Yeah.
This is
drowsy. Okay, yeah. Getting back to what we said before, Omar Rabba, Nochum and Agag Benitka, if a person falls off the roof and then gets jammed into the Yavama, Chayav Baba Dvarim, then he's Chayav in four of the five of the payments, or Vivimtia Lakona, and if it was his Yavama, then he's not Kona. What are the four? That he's Chayav Benezek, Batav, Beshebes, Beripri, as we said. The damages, the pain, the loss of work, and medical bills. Avaboshes Lame Chayav, but he's not going to be Chayav for the fifth one, for the embarrassment. Why do Amamar? In Chayav ala Boshet Ad Shiskaven. A person is not Chayav for Boshet unless he intends to injure or otherwise embarrass the other person. Here he had no intention because he fell off the roof. Now, Mefoshim do point out, if he got knocked off the roof by a Ruach She'enim Metsuya, by an unusually strong wind, he wouldn't even be Chayav for the other things. He'd call that an Oinim. Here we're talking about that it was a Ruach Metsuya, a normal wind, and therefore it's called Shogig Korav L'Mezid. Yes, it was unwitting, but it was sort of Korav L'Mezid. It was careless of him to be so close to the edge of the roof where wind might knock him down. Amar Rava, another Amar, and Chayav Al-Barshat, Chiskavin. Amar Rava, here's another din. Niskavin Lahatiach Bekosil, if a person intended to go and strike against the wall with his Aver, and he wound up striking his Yuvama and having relations with her. Loikana, he wasn't kind because he didn't mean for any kind of beer. But Latiach the behemah b'itiach b'yuvama, but he intended to commit bestiality with an animal, and instead he landed on his Yuvama. What?
Latiach,
if you have a... Yeah, it literally means to strike. Yeah, but it means. And he wound up with his Yivama, Kana, then he is Kana, because after all, he did have intention for something that can be considered Bia.
Difference between Latiach and Bia.
Latiach is sort of a term that we use, meaning like something unnatural. Like he's trying to do it with an animal, he's trying to jam it into a hole in the wall or whatever. That's called Latiach.
With a
human being, right? Here we're talking about not even a human being, but it's still considered some form of beer. For example, it would make him chayav miser with the animal. Yeah.
Okay, but that's with an animal. We're talking.
No, but that's what we're saying. Therefore, it works. In other words, if instead he turned in the wrong direction and wound up with his yivama instead of with the animal, he's kind of the yivum takes effect because at least he intended for something. He intended some kind of beer, something that can be considered beer in halacha. Going back to the Mishnah had said Echad Ma'ara, that when it comes to the Bia of Yibum, it doesn't matter whether he did Ha'ara, which is the first stage of Bia, or Gemar Bia. Later on, we'll talk about it over the next couple, we'll talk about, I think, on Daf Nun Hey, what exactly the definition of Ha'ara is. But anyway, whether he does Ha'ara or full Bia, nevertheless, he's Koine.
Ha'ara means
the first stage. It means the first stage of Bia. That's the Gemara is going to discuss whether it means the initial stage of penetration or whatever. It means the initial stage, but what exactly constitutes the initial stage, we'll talk about. That we'll get to tomorrow. That's the Shem, or Matzah Shabbos. Amar Ula, minayin lahara min haTorah. Where do we know in the Torah that hara is considered bia? Maybe only Gemar bia. Maybe only going all the way in is considered. Shenema, the reason is because the pasuk says the isha she yishkav is isha dava. If a person has relations with a woman who's a nida dava, there's a couple of different beforeshim. Rashi says that dava literally means sick, because usually when women are having their period, they usually feel under the weather. The Ramban, I think, says that rather that dava comes from a word meaning flowing, because that's what happens with a nida, the blood flows. Anyway. Person has relations with a nida, v'gila es ervasa, and he uncovers her erva, es mekoira hera. The symbol meaning of hera would also mean he uncovered, it would be like a synonym of gila. He uncovered her mocker, her womb. But the Gemara is understanding hera to mean that he did hara, he did the first stage of bia. And we see the pasuk says he gets karis for it. So therefore we see the Torah uses the word es mekoira hera, so there you go, hara is considered a bia.
For that.
Well, that's the question. Ashkecha nida. Fine. We see that by nida. Shara arayis minayin. How do we see that it applies to all the other arayis? V'chitei menelef minida. You might say, okay, we'll make a plain old binyan up. We'll say the pasuk gives an example by nida. It applies equally well to all the arayis. Can't do that. Mala nida shekein metama es bayala. Nida has a special chumra that if a person has relations with a nida, it makes him tame.
And a yibum.
Forget about yibum. Any other kind of arayis. A person has relations with any of the arayis, it doesn't make him tame. I mean, he's Tomei Shechazera, but that's a Tomokala. She doesn't become Tomei. If she was Tomei and he has relations with her, he didn't become Tomei. So Nida is something special. So maybe even therefore Hara, maybe by the other ones, he needs Gemara Bia, yeah. Ella Achim Eishas Ach. So no, rather we'll learn it from what the Pasuk says by a brother's wife, meaning when there's no Yibum being done. The Pasuk says a person who marries his brother's wife, Nida he. The Pasuk says she is a Nida. Okay, yeah. What do you mean? She's not a nida in the sense that she's always having a period. Ella kinida. No, what the pasuk means is it means to compare her to a nida. Ma nida b'hara, ap eishes ach b'hara. So just like by a nida, we said, that hara is enough to be chayev, so also by eishes ach. So we can learn from eishes ach then. However, the question is, mala eishes ach shekein b'yad l'rabbis. Eishes ach maybe is special. There's a certain chumra to it because eishes ach, it's possible to make, you have it in your power to make many, to make your brother also to many women. You can be diboy makadish ba'adol, it's kialpa. You can go and be makadish 1,000 women, and then all those 1,000 women are also to your brother. How could you compare that to the other arayas, your mother, your sister, et cetera? You don't have it in your power to make that there should be more of those. You only have one mother. You, how many sisters you have is determined by what your father and mother do, not by what you do, et cetera. It's potential, but the point is still, it's a potential that exists, which does not exist by most other arayas. It exists by a few other ones, but the you know, mothers-in-law, for example, the more women you makadosh, the more mothers-in-law you're going to have, etc. But many arayas, the ones that depend on blood relationships, you don't really have it in your power to be marva indefinitely.
So they don't compare both.
You can't compare. So no, rather let's try to learn it from the pasuk that says about a father's mother or a mother about a father's sister or a mother's sister, which are also to you. Your aunts by blood. We're not talking aunts by marriage, that's a different thing. We're talking aunts by blood. The pasuk says you should not do gilei arayis with your father with your mother's sister or your father's sister. Again, the Torah used the word hera, which is the same shorter from hara, because he's done hara with his relative. And we see again the pasuk uses the word hera.
Ki es
she'era, because his blood relative hera he has uncovered, meaning he has done hara with. So therefore you have. So there you have then. You have you have yet another relative, which is Ein Biyadu L'Rabbos, and Ein Biyadu L'Rabbos, and you don't specifically become Tomei from being Mizana with them, and the Torah uses the word Hara by it. However, the Gemara asks still, Ikla Mifrach, you can still slug up at Binyanav, because Mal Achos Av Achos Eim, Shekin Isra Abama Elav. Achos Av and Achos Eim are special, because they are an Isra. They're an Isser that comes on their own, meaning, you know, you were born, you already have, you know, without you having to do anything. It's sort of the opposite of the Eishes Ach that we just said. That it's sort of the opposite. That was, you could be married by as many as you want. Here it's the issue it comes out. Yeah, well, not even they exist before you exist, but in other words, as opposed to, what about arayas that come based on kedushin? What about, for example, Eishes Achiv, which is based on him being the Kaddish? What about, for example, your mother-in-law, which comes by you being the Kaddish a woman? That's not a bama elav. You have to do something in order to make this woman also to you. As opposed to your brother, your father's sister, you didn't have to do anything for her to be also to you. Whether she was born before you, after you, doesn't matter. But the point is, it had nothing to do with you. It had nothing to do with any action that you took. So how can we learn that, for example, a person would be chayav for hara, let's say, with his mother-in-law, where he had to do something in order to make her also to him? Okay, the Gemara says, you know what? Mechodolai Asya, fine. But so far we had three different places we wanted to learn from, and we can't learn all of the arayas from any one single one of them, because each one has something special, a special feature that the other ones don't. Okay, Tesi Chodomitarti, fine, let's try to learn from two of them together. This is, we've talked about before, you know, we say in the Braise of Rabbi Shmuel, Mibinyan of Mikosavachan, Mibinyan of Mishnek Sovim, sometimes we need Shnek Sovim, because one of them is not enough, because like we're saying over here, each one you can slug it up, but if you have two of them together, and you find two of them where neither one has the same feature as the other one, and yet we say a certain din applies to both of them, then we can say we can use it as a binyan av for everything else.
We say one is not enough because we can slug it up here.
But two of them maybe is enough.
Two of them, that's different.
Okay, so Gemara asks, hey, Tasty. Fine, which two are we going to use? Tasty, me'eshes ach v'achos av v'achos em. Are you going to try to use the combination of the brother's wife and your father's or mother's sister and leave out the nida? Can't. Malahanach shekein asur mishum sheir. That's different. Those two are also because they're relatives of yours. So fine. Okay, so we can learn from that all the ones that are also as relatives that hara would work. How would we learn it? How would we learn it that it applies to all the ones that to the ones that are not relatives for you, namely an Eishes Ish.
Yivum is not considered.
Forget Yivum. An Eishes Ish. Person has relations with somebody else's wife. We know the din is hara. The Mishnah had said kol arayis shabbat Torah, that hara is enough. Eishes Ish is not related to you. How would we learn it from those two? Are you going to try to use the combination of nida together with your aunt? Can't do that either. Both those are an issur that come on their own. Again, meaning in other words, as opposed to there are some of the arayas depends on your action. Your mother-in-law or your daughter-in-law, for example, your mother-in-law, let's say, depends on your actions. She doesn't become also until you were Makadish, her daughter. Whereas Nida and Ant, there's no action of yours that makes them also. If we're going to say we're going to use a binyanav mishnei ksovim, that we're going to use two of them, fine, we'll use Nida and a brother's wife. To my purpose, because then you can't, you use the combination of Nida and your brother's wife. Neither of those has anything in common. Nida happens on its own. Eishes Ach requires that your brother married her. You can't be married by Nidus, but you can be married by Eishes Ach. All the different parts of it, one happens on its own, one doesn't happen on its own. So therefore, when you use that combination,
together,
you seem to have covered all your bases.
And they both talk hara.
And both of them use the word hara, right? By Nida it says that Makoda hara, and by Eishes Ach it says Nida he, and we say that Nida he comes to teach us that it's like Nida. So there you can use that combination. But maskiflor of achabreder of eka, no good. Mal of nida, v'eishas ach, shekain einlein het b'chaya oisron. How can you compare? Nida and eishas ach have a chidush over certain other arayas, namely that they remain osir as long as the factor that makes them osir still exists. Which means, in other words, einlein het b'chaya oisron. Meaning, in other words, like this. A nida is osir as long as she's bleeding. Once that stops, she becomes mutter, which the Gemara is going to challenge that in a minute. You need shiva nikiyim. Well, we'll get to that in a minute.
Okay.
Or not shiva nikiyim. I mean, I told all you need for nida to wait for the end of the 7 days she goes to the mikvah. Whatever. The point is that as long as the nidus is going on, she's osir. The Eishes Ach, as long as the brother is alive, she's osir. Even if he divorces her. How could you compare it? How could you compare it to Eishes Ish, where it's possible, while her husband is still alive, which her husband is the one who made her offer to you in the first place, he could divorce her, then she becomes mutter. What? So So maybe you could say, yes, hara applies by nida and by eshesach, and by any other... And
it's the same, you know, as long as she flows, she's... But when she stops flowing and she waits...
No, that's it. Ein lahen hetzer b'chaye oistron. As long as the nidus itself still exists, or as long as the brother still exists, then the woman is author, as opposed to HSH. No, when the husband can still be existing, the husband can still be alive, but he divorced her. So therefore, yes, so Nida and Ashes Och have a certain, not necessarily Tzad Chomer, but they have a certain feature, not a Tzad Chomer, a Tzad Kal maybe, but whatever, they have a certain feature that Ashes Ish does not have. Yeah, Tzad Chomer, actually. Yeah, you're right, it is a Tzad Chomer. They have a certain Chomer that Ashes Ish doesn't have.
She's also a Chaye...
There is a Heter, but Chaye Oistra. If her husband divorces her, even though he's alive, you're allowed to marry her. But that's the thing. That's the difference is, as opposed to, for example, Ashes Achim, if your brother divorces his wife, you're still also to her.
We're playing on semantics here.
No, but it's not playing on semantics. This is an important thing.
What made
her also the fact that your brother married her.
Right.
Once your brother divorces her, she still stays also, even though he's out of the picture. Only if he dies does she become mother.
But it is
Chaye Oistra. The one who made her also to you, an Ashes Ach, the one who made her also to you is your brother by marrying her. He's still alive, but he divorced her. She's still also. So B'chaye Oistra, as long as he's alive, she remains also. As opposed to an Ashes Ish, if her husband divorces her, B'chaye Oistra, she becomes mother. While her husband is still alive, she becomes mother once he divorces her. It's a different thing.
We define Chaye Oistra in two different ways.
No, I don't know what you mean. Chaye Oistra means that what made her officer? We have three different cases over here. We have Nida, the fact that she started bleeding made her officer. Ashes Ach, the fact that your brother married her made her officer. Ashes Ish, the fact that somebody else married her made her officer. In two out of those three cases, even if you remove in two of those three cases, you have to remove the factor that from you have to completely remove out of the world the factor that made her usher in order for it to become the nida, the bleeding has to stop, and the brother, the nida, the bleeding has to stop, so the bleeding no longer exists, and with the brother has to die. Him divorcing her doesn't help. And Ashes Ish, he can divorce her. He still exists in the world. At one time he made her usher. Now she becomes mutter. So the Gemara asks back, Amalei Rav Acha Midifti L'Ravina, Otum Nida Ve'eshes Ach B'chaye Oistra Nudei Ein Lahen Heter. What are you implying? That a Nida and a brother's wife only, you're saying, well, as long as the factor that made them also is alive or exists, then they don't have a Heter. Av Alacha M'kan Yesh Lahen Heter. But you're telling me right after that they have a Heter? It's not a blanket statement. Nida B'yoy Mitola Milsa. A Nida doesn't just depend when the bleeding stops. You have to wait the full 7 days. Even if she only bled for 1 day, she still has to wait till the end of the 7 days. And with an Eshesach, it's not a given that once the brother dies, she becomes mutter. It depends whether she had children or not. If she had children, then even after he's dead, she doesn't become mutter.
If she has children,
then there's no Yibam and Chalitza, right? Ella Porichachi. So no, then she always remains also, even after the brother's dead, yes. Ella Porichachi. So no, rather do the upshlog as follows. When it comes to a nida and an HSR, the same factor that makes them osir is not the same one that makes them mutter. You need something else. You need something else to come into the picture to make them mutter. A nida, it's not enough that the bleeding goes away. You actually need to wait to the end of the 7 days and for it to travel, for it to become mutter again. HSR, it's not good enough that he divorces her, and it's not even good enough that he dies. It has to be. There has to be another factor, namely there were no children. As opposed to an Ashes Ish, the very same person who made her officer, her husband, is able to be matir her by giving her a get. You don't need an extra factor.
So that's the difference.
So you're still back to the question, how do we know that Ha'ara applies across the board to all Arayas? So far we seem to have found, in each case we find some kind of exception. Now, why the Gemara doesn't just say we learn them from all three together, Nida, Ashes Ach, and Ashes Achiv, and Ashes, and Achosav, and Achos Imai, I don't know. Anyway. Yeah. El Omer of Yonah, V'Temer of Hunab Rebbe of Yeshua. So no, rather, Rav Yonah, or Hunab Rebbe of Yeshua, says here's a different reason. Forget about a Binyan Av. A Binyan Av, you're right, we can always find a way to slog up. Rather, we're going to use a Hekish. And a Hekish cannot be slogged up. If the Torah specifically puts together, juxtaposes two things, then that's it. You can't slog that up. Amakra, the pasuk says, ki kolasho yasim kol ha'tevaseila. Anybody who does any of these repulsive things, v'nichas v'anafashas oisis, then those people who do it are going to get kares. And one of these te'evas, one of these things that's also in the pasuk over there, is nida. Therefore, hukshu kol ha'arayis, kulan the nida. So all of the arayis are compared to nida. Man nida v'hara, just like nida, he's chayev for hara, which is the pasuk that we quoted before, it's mekora hara. I've called Bahara, so the same thing. All the other arayas that are listed in that perek in Acharei Moed are also how raw is enough to make him chayim. Okay, so if that's the case, then so ultimately we're using this hekish. We're not using a binyan av. So then we have to ask the Elam needed to ksiva gaba eishes ach lamali. So why does the Torah need to describe by eishes ach? Why does the Torah need to use the word nidai? Before we thought it's because we needed to compare eishes ach specifically to nida to say that hara applies over there, and then we would use that as part of our binyanav. We said we're not using the binyanav anymore. So what does it need to say nidai? The answer is l'chid Rav Huna. It comes to teach us what Rav Huna said. To Amar Rav Huna, remez liyivamim in haTorah minayin. Rav Huna says, what's a remez for the concept of doing yibum in the Torah? I want to interject. What do you mean? Remez? What do you mean, minayin? Haksiv yavama yavayalai. You don't need a remez. You have an explicit pasuk that says that the yavam has relations with her. Ella, what he means is remez liyavama shasura b'chayev vayla minayin. Where is a remez in the Torah that the yavama is aser while her husband is alive? In other words, how do we know? Maybe if the brother divorces her, you should also do yavum. Okay. We're saying that we were asking why does the Torah need to use the expression nidahi by Eishes Ach? We're not using it for binyanav. So what are we using it for? So we're saying Rav Huna had said, where is there a remez in the Torah for yibum? And we said, what do you mean a remez? The Torah says yibum ayavela. No, where is there a remez in the Torah that yibum is only if the brother dies, not if he divorces her? Which the Gemara still interjects. The Gemara still interjects. What do you mean? You don't need a pasuk for that. Hai svarahi. That would be a svara. Since the Torah says that only if the brother dies without children does she become mutter, that implies that if he divorces her, then she still stays after. You don't need a pasuk for that.
Or anything else.
Yeah. Okay, the Gemara asks, okay, maybe not. The Duma la'acha missus baila mitzvah, maybe you could argue what the pasuk means after, if her husband dies, then it's a mitzvah to do yibum. Ulakacha lo'la isha b'yibma, which is, as we said before, is a mitzvah. B'chaye baila rishus. You could argue, if her husband divorced her and her husband is still alive, maybe it's a rishus. If you want to do yibum, not the brother himself. We're talking, Reuben was married to a woman.
Oh, yes.
He divorced her. Yes. He divorced her. You could argue, maybe, if you didn't have a pasuk to tell us otherwise, maybe you would say, if Reuben had died, then sure, you have a mitzvah of doing yibum, as we talked about all this time. But if he just divorced her, and they didn't have children, maybe you would say, it's a rishus. If you want, if another brother, if Shimon wants to do yibum with her, maybe he should be allowed to. That's what we're going to say. That's what we need a pasuk for. If Reuben, instead of dying without children, divorced his wife without children, you might have thought that maybe Shimon is allowed to do yibum with her. He doesn't have a mitzvah to. There's no yavama yavayala, but he's allowed to. You could have thought that.
It's a svara.
Yeah.
If he had divorced with other brothers, without children.
Inami, or you could argue that maybe there's another possibility. You could argue that no, the Torah is only telling us that after the brother dies, you should be doing yibum. But if we didn't have a pasuk to tell us that Eishes Ach is aser, we would think that if the brother is still alive, if he only divorced her, then you're not, why are you also to, maybe you are also to do yibum, but not under a lav, only under an eseh, only under the implication of an eseh. Yivama yavay alav, implying, but if the brother is still alive, then you shouldn't. Alav abama kol eseh. Yeah, a lav that comes from an eseh is considered an eseh. He wouldn't be chayav malkus or karis or chathos or anything for it. So therefore, Amar Kras, for that, the pasuk says, v'isha she'ika chaseisha sachav nidahi, that a person marries his brother's wife, she is a nida. And again, we ask Sanamad Aleph, v'chi eisha sachav nidahi. Eisha sachav is not a nida, what does that mean? Ela kinida. It means we're making comparison between her and a nida. Not like the comparison we were trying to make on Amar Aleph that hara says by nida, and therefore hara applies to an eisha sach, because we said in the end we don't need that, we learned from the hekish. But no, ma nida afopi she'esh lehetzel acha mikan v'shasi surah v'kardis, a nida. Eventually, she's going to become mutter. Eventually, the 7 days will be over, and she'll go to the mikveh, and she'll be mutter. But yeah, when she's usher, you chayev karis for having relations with her. Eishes Och Nami, so it is also with an Eishes Och. That's why the Torah uses the word Nidai to hint at this. Even though eventually she may become mutter if her husband dies childless, but while her husband is alive, it would be an Issur Koris to have relations with her. So that's a Nidai. Yeah, we're comparing her to a nida, but not for the purpose of hara, but rather for the purpose of saying that a nida eventually becomes mutter, but yet there's karis when during the time she's also, and so it is also with Eishes Och.
So coming back to hara, then where do we?
We said we learned from the hekesh from nida. She's still also to the brothers, yeah. Okay, how about another one? Ela ha'ra, d'chtiv gabe achos al v'achos ein lomali. What do we need the ha'ra? That it's, again, we had three of the arayas where it says the word ha'ra. The third one of them was your aunt, your father's or mother's sister. What does it need to say ha'ra there for? Again, he said we don't need it anymore. We use the hekesh. The answer is...
That's the question.
Why do we need it?
Because we had a hekesh.
Given that we're using the hekesh in the end, we're not using the binyanav, then what do we need that then? The answer is lomali. So the answer is l'chidiv amine ravina me rava. We need it for the din that Ravina asked Rava. He asked him, hama'ara b'zachu mahu. What if somebody does ha'ara with a male? We know the Torah says zachu le'zishka mishka be'isha, that you're not allowed to have male to male relations. How do we know that applies even if you only do ha'ara? What do you mean?
How can it be ha'ara with a male?
You tell me. What does it mean when we say zachu le'zishka mishka be'isha?
Okay, but I mean, it's not...
It means shaloi kadarka. That's the... Yeah, when
we... With a male, it can mean that?
That's what it means. That is what it means. That's, as a matter of fact, that's what the Gemara is going to point out over here. Bezachu mishkebe... What do you mean? Bezachu mishkebe isha. The Pasuk says, Hazachu leitishka mishkebe isha, and we learn from that, actually, that it means the same... It means we learn it... The Gemara explains, I think we'll have it later, that magid l'cha kasef shishnei mishkebeis be'isha. The Torah is informing you that there are two... That comes to tell you that by a woman, there are two kinds of bia that are called bia, kadaka and shaloi kadaka. Because by male, there's only the shaloi kadaka one, the kadaka one doesn't exist. So therefore, obviously, in the same way as ha'ra applies by any of the arayas, obviously the same way it applies by a zachar. Mishkadeisha, the Torah is fully comparing them for all purposes. The question was rather, hama'ara b'behema mahu. What if a person does ha'ra with an animal? We know the Torah says that loisitin shchotcha b'behema. But the Torah doesn't. A behemah is not like any of the other arai. It's not a human being. Maybe all the lamudim that we said over there before that we learn hara, maybe doesn't apply to an animal. Which Tosfos points out. I mean, why don't we say the same hekesh as before? Ki kol asher yasam kol ta'eves ela. The answer is because after nida, two reasons. First of all, what are we learning the whole concept? We're learning from nida from esmepora hera by a zohar. And by an animal, there's no mocker to be hera. By a male, there's no mocker. There's no womb to be. Yeah. Second of all, Tosfos says because if you look at the order of the psukim over there, you have after it lists all the regular arayas, the Torah then digresses for a moment and mentions about umizarach olisitin lahavir l'moilach, that you're not allowed to hand over your children to be passed through the fires in honor of moilach, and then it goes back to that zachar and behema. So therefore, we could argue that zachar and behema are a different kind of category. Maybe they're not included in the hekesh. So zachar, fine. We said mishkeve yisha, but how do we know an animal? Amalei, and Rava answers him. Since we don't need the word hara by your mother's or your father's sister, because we have Rabbi Yonah's hekesh. Therefore, tneu inyan lahara de behema. Therefore, we can use it. We've had many times the idea. That if we have a phrase that the Torah uses in one place where we don't really need it for that din because we know it from someplace else, then we can use it for something related. So here we do that.
We didn't say that in the first place. That was the result.
No, that's as a result of, yeah. Yeah. Okay, but the Gemara asks if that's the case. If you're going to say you're learning it from Achos Av Achos Eim, why Davka of all the Arayas did the Torah choose to put it by that one? Mechdi, Behema Chayv and Mrs. Bastin. If a person has relations with an animal, he'd be Chayv Mrs. Bastin.
What do we chose to say?
What are we saying? We're saying that the fact that the Torah says ha'ra by achoyz av and achoyz aim, since we don't need it for that, because we have Rabbi Yonah's hekesh, instead we use it for the behema.
Right.
The question is, there's a difference between achoyz av and achoyz aim versus the behema. A behema you chayiv mitzah, achoyz av, achoyz aim, you only chayiv karis. Why wouldn't the Torah have instead put it by one of our rights? We also chayiv Mrs. Beis Din. Put it by the daughter, put it by the mother-in-law, etc.
Where they're all
chayiv Mrs. Mechti behem chayiv Mrs. Beis Din. Here, with an animal, you chayiv Mrs. Beis Din. My time, ksib lahara di dog gaba chayiv krisis. Why does the word hara, which we're using to say that it applies to an animal, why are we putting it by one of the chayiv krisis? Luchtav gavi Mrs. Beis Din. Let it put it by one of the arayas that are chayiv Mrs. Beis Din. V'neila, Mrs. Beis Din, Mrs. Beis Din. And that'll make more sense that we're learning. We're saying by one thing by Mrs. Beis Din, you don't need hara. So you're instead applying it to another Mrs. Beis Din, that's namely the behavior.
Put them together.
Yeah.
Veneva means what?
Veneva, we should learn. Mrs. Beis Din. The answer is, I did kuli krol the drosha, also because that whole pasuk about achoyz av v'achoyz em is only there for a drosha. We don't even really need that pasuk. Which we're going to say in a second. Ksib beinami ha-milta. So since we already have an extra pasuk anyway, which we're using for another drosha, then the Torah stuck this in as there as well. What do we mean, the drosha? Yes. Ksib beinami ha-milta the drosha. My drosha, what drosha are we talking about? The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, the pasuk says that you shouldn't have relations with your father's sister. And that means whether it's a sister, whether it's a sister on his father's side or his mother's side. Now, the Braisa says, you're saying that. Maybe it only means if it's a sister on his father's side. So if your father's father was married to two women, and he had a sister, and your father was born from one wife, and his sister, your aunt, was born from another wife. So she's only your half aunt. Maybe you shouldn't be. And the dinhu, and in fact, we could do another binyanav. Chiyav kan v'chiyav v'achoyta. So the answer is v'dinhu, because we learn it as follows. Chiyav kan v'chiyav v'achoyta. We find the Torah is mechayev over here by your father's sister, and the Torah is also mechayev for having relations with a person having relations with his own sister. Ma'achoyta b'emina av b'emina em. And when it comes to a sister, it means whether she's your sister from your father's side or your mother's side, and that we know because the Torah says so explicitly. Erez achoytcha v'acha v'icha oy v'asi mecha. So therefore, afkan bein min av bein min aim. So the same thing, by a father's sister also means whether it's from his father or from his mother. But why? Maybe you could take it the other way. Chiyav kan v'chiyav b'dei pasa. Instead, let's compare a father's sister to your aunt, meaning your uncle's wife, your aunt by marriage. Ma dedasa min av v'loy min aim. When are you also on your aunt by marriage, only if she's married to your father's sister from his father's side, not from the mother's side? You said back when we discussed the whole thing of Shias in the second parak that midin Torah, and we'll explain soon how we know this, that a father's maternal brother's wife is mutter min Torah. Only a paternal brother's wife is also. So you could argue over here also. Afkan min avalei min aim. So the same thing here when you're talking about the father's own sister, maybe it only means a sister from the father, not from the mother. Says, the Braisa says, Nido, let me doima. Okay, let's figure out. We have two possible comparisons. We can compare it to your sister, or we can compare it to your aunt by marriage. Fine, let's see which one it's more similar to. Done in Isra Bama Elov, the Isra Bama Elov, we will, let's better learn an Isra that comes on its own from an Isra that comes on its own, meaning your father's sister and your own sister come on their own. You didn't have anything, nobody did any actual action.
You didn't do anything to make her.
As opposed to your aunt by marriage, your uncle had to be mekadosh her for her. He had to actually perform an action for her to become author. So maybe that's different. So
for your father, you didn't do anything, but for your aunt.
No. So in other words, of these three relatives that you're talking about, your sister, you didn't have anything to do with her being born. Your father's sister, you also didn't have anything to do with. Your father's brother's wife, you didn't have to, but he had something. Your father's brother had to be Makadish her.
You didn't.
No, but that's not the point, that you didn't. The point is, it's not Isra Abama Elov. The Isra does not come on its own. Somebody had to do a conscious action to be Makadish this woman in order for her to become Osir.
Meaning the brother's...
The father's brother. So therefore, it's more logical, if you're trying to figure out what kind of father's sister is Osir, it's more logical to compare it to your own sister than to your aunt by marriage. Why still maybe let's try it another way around. Don in Kroyve Av Mikroyve Av. Maybe it's more logical to derive a din about your father's relatives from another din involving your father's relatives. as opposed to your sister, which is your own relative. So we're back and forth. We go back and forth. We don't have any way of knowing. Talmud Loima, that's why the Pasuk says, Erevas Achayisa Bichalei Segalei, that's why the Pasuk says, you should not have relations with your father's wife, which means Bein Mina'av, Bein Mina'im, and Erevas Achayisa Imchalei Segalei, which means Bein Mina'av, Bein Mina'im. In other words, we brought this in because we wanted to prove, we wanted to explain why this Pasuk, Erevas Achayisa Bichalei, Achayisa Imchalei Segalei, why it's an extra Pasuk. That's why we see it. It's an extra pasuk. We need it. We use it. Not an extra pasuk, but we need it for this drasha. We need it in order to teach us that any kind of father's sister is also, and any kind of mother's sister is also, regardless of whether it's from the father's side or from the mother's side. Without that pasuk, we wouldn't be able to derive that, because we could go back and forth either way. We could compare it to your sister, or we could compare it to your aunt by marriage.
And the pasuk is, which pasuk exactly?
This pasuk, Erev Achayisa Bichalei Segalei Imchalei Segalei. I guess we'll have to stop here because we got to have a narrative. But if you want to take a few minutes, and we'll learn a little bit further, then fine. If not, then we'll just continue tomorrow night.